Hey guys, it's GBD, and it is Thursday night, the last day of E3. I am here with...
Orban.
And...
Shipwreck! We've done it!
We made it. We won. We won E3. Congratulations, everybody.
We survived.
We survived. We accomplished the 4DX screening of The Mummy. We saw a lot of good games. We ate good food. Nobody got hurt.
Good job, nobody getting hurt.
Good job, everybody. So, yeah, we'll just, we'll switch off talking about what we saw today. Thorbon, why don't you start off, tell us the first game that you saw.
I went to the Xbox booth and went and saw Brawlout. Brawlout is kind of like, you know how, like, there are Zelda games on other consoles, you know?
Like Rhyme?
Yeah, like Rhyme. Oh.
Rime?
Sure. And, well, like, Brawlout is sort of like the competitive version of Smash Brothers.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion, anyway. I asked the guy that, and he's like, well, it borrows from a lot, but it's percentages at the bottom, and it's four people fighting each other, and a lot of...
I still don't know what those percentages mean. I guess...
The higher the percentage, the easier it is to get knocked off and killed.
I had no idea. Did you know what that was, Ship?
I knew that, but I didn't... I don't know why they don't use normal math. I still haven't figured that out.
Right. Like, why? How can something be 150%?
It goes up to like 300%.
Yeah, 300%.
Right. Why not?
300%, someone pokes you and you just smash.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've learned something today.
Yeah.
I've always wondered that, and I've always been embarrassed to ask, I guess.
Yeah.
How so? Was it good?
I didn't play it. I just talked to the guy the whole time.
Did you look at it? Did it look like a worthy successor to Smash Brothers?
If you have no interest in Switch or Wii U, yeah. I mean...
Right. They didn't have the cute all the good characters, I'm guessing.
No, they're basically like there's a frog and there's
frog
like Lucha Libre guy and things like that. So
nice. All right, what did we see first?
We saw Spider-Man.
That was fun.
I like the Spider-Man. It was the same level they showed in the Sony press conference. Just one of the devs was playing through it. Did stuff slightly different.
I would say it was 90% the same.
Yeah, but. The Brian Intihar answered a lot of questions during the Q&A after that, though. So it's clear that they understand Spider-Man, and everybody's very passionate. We talked to a Marvel guy earlier in the week was very passionate about it as well. They're going to do it right. I know some people are concerned that it's too much QuickTime events. I don't really have a problem with QuickTime events, and it's not... Like, it's such a small part. Really, you have to look at them as that's the cinematics in the game.
Right. And you could not be involved or be involved a little.
Yeah, you can watch Spider-Man, like, tie a falling crane to the side of a building, or you could have some immediacy to that. So.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks really good. Spider-Man's Peter Parker. He's going to be 23 years old. During the game, so after college.
He's a scientist.
Completely different storyline.
So is it not Miles Morales? It's Peter Parker?
No, this is Peter Parker. Yeah, this is Peter Parker. Okay. No.
Because seeing that trailer, I wasn't sure. Because they showed Miles Morales at the end of the trailer, so I'm like, okay, are you Peter Parker or Miles Morales? So
DLC.
Yeah, there you go.
See you next year. See you at the end of the year.
I think Miles is just in there as a side character type of thing.
Okay.
No, they definitely reiterated over and over again that this was Peter Parker, and it would be a game about Peter Parker. It just looks the way you can use the environment to knock down people, which they said that that's a thing that is just in the open world as well. It's not just in like the story mission type stuff like what they were showing. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be good. They did an amazing job, I think, making the city. Like, it looks... Looks like Manhattan, you know, immediately. It looks like photos.
You love those New York City games like GTA 4 and what else has New York?
No, I didn't like GTA 4.
Hulk Ultimate Destruction.
I did like Hulk, but that wasn't... They didn't, like, really do a good job modeling New York City.
That was a long time ago, though.
Yeah. This, like, I see buildings in there that are not famous buildings. It's like, you know, beyond, like, Empire State Building. Just, like, a random tall building that it looks exactly like it looks like in real life. And just... You know, the taxis moving around, everything just looks like a picture of New York. But the game looks obviously good beyond that. What else did we see after that?
We saw a game called Milan Noir. It's a indie game, 2D indie game that's set in the 70s in, like, Italian mob type stuff, but in Italy, not in the United States.
Pixel art.
Good sense of humor. It's got co-op.
Hard.
Very hard. It's coming out for PC, and we were playing with a controller, and the aiming convention very much felt like it was a mouse and keyboard aiming convention.
That explains it. Okay.
Which they're looking to bring it to consoles at some point as well, but right now they're just working on the PC version.
Okay.
But it was fun.
It was fun.
I wish it wasn't quite so hard, but maybe if you're playing it at home, it's easier. I mean, you find that a lot with these demos. You're trying to just pick it up, and they throw you in, and
you're not up to speed.
You'll get the learning curve.
We got Wombat's and good T-shirts there.
Mm-hmm. We did get a couple of T-shirts there, so Wombat, looking forward to that.
He's not going to listen to this. Someone's going to have to tell him about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Thorban, what'd you see?
I saw. I went to the parking lot thing, the Digital Devolver, Gambitious, and me and Omega booth thing, and I saw Mulaka, and it was really, really interesting talking to this guy, like, because he lives in Mexico, and he was like, yeah, we booked appointments, I looked it up, and it was really cool, and I was like, yeah, so, like, I told him about how every once in a while, like, someone from Mexico follows it, and he goes, yeah, what we do is, like, I'm 3 hours from the border, so, like, someone just drives 3 hours to the border and picks up Amazon.com stuff and things like that. I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, that's interesting.
Cheap-ass tips.
Yeah.
And if you're living in Mexico, they know all about it. So how was the game?
It's cool. It's kind of like Zelda. Zelda and things like that. It's based on this local tribe that they live by. And you remember, have you played Never Alone? With the Eskimo folklore?
No, I didn't play that. No, yeah, no.
I played some of that.
It's kind of like that, where, like, they commissioned that tribe commissioned to have that game made. Or
okay.
This is kind of like the opposite, where, like, they were like,
the tribe tried to get the game to not be made.
No. They went to the tribe and they wanted to make a game based on, like, their tribe's folklore and stuff. So, okay. like paintings that are in real life are in the game, and it's based on their myth, their heritage and things like that, and, like, you can transform into a bird and a bear, and there are cool water puzzles, and it has, like, a low-poly art style to it. And that dude is pretty cool, talking to him and everything.
Mulaka.
Yeah, Mulaka, which he was like, oh, we just picked a random name out of the out of their language, and apparently it's the stock part of corn. I'm like, all right. And he said that part about Greek. He said it meant asshole in Greek.
I know, but it's a little one letter off.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's one letter off or whatever.
Mulaka.
Yeah. And he said people thought that's what it was.
And did you tell him that's what I told you?
Yeah, I told him.
My man Chibi thought it was too, because I knew a Greek guy who was like a little naughty, and he would teach me all the swear words. Mm-hmm. What did we see next, Ship?
We saw Call of Duty World War II.
We saw a lot of it.
We saw a lot of it. We saw a theater presentation, which, man, there's a lot of guns getting fired in that game.
In your ear when you're sitting right next to the surround speaker.
Were your ears ringing like in the presentation?
Ship was right.
I was like, the speaker was literally like against the back of my head. But it looks really good. Like I was thinking I wasn't going to be interested in playing World War II game again, but you see all the smoke, and I remember like that being such a big deal, like to where you throw the smoke grenades, and it's
the carrier attack looks really good. That scene that they show, but it's just like a cutscene. But I think it's hard to get too excited about it.
It's hard to get too excited. I'm not nearly as excited like last year when we saw Call of Duty Infinite War.
Right,
we're like, this is a game of show.
Right,
exactly. Yeah. Then we played the multiplayer. We played a lot of the multiplayer. We played Deathmatch, which I did decent at. I was like second. Some guy had like
don't brag.
Some guy had like 37 kills though.
Right.
Like we were playing the 50. One guy on Team Deathmatch had 37 kills.
Yeah.
So
did he have like a really cool kill streak, like trophy or something? Or
I'm sure he had everything, whatever you could get, because he had 37 kills and I had like 4.
In the old games, if you got 28, you nuked the entire.
I'm sure I don't know.
People were dying. Right. Then after that, we it was like capture the point type of thing.
Domination.
Yeah. Which Chibi did much better than I did in that.
I couldn't even tell what if I was doing.
And then after that, we played, I don't remember what they called it. Assault.
War. War Point?
War. It's the same.
Oh, war, is War...
Warzone. Warzone?
Oh, okay. No.
I don't know.
Is War where there's five flags and you have to capture each
one?
No. Yeah, basically.
That's what War was like back in the very last call.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they acted like this was a new feature, but I remember playing games like this where it was like, okay, first you have to capture
the house.
That
was in Battlezone. Battlefield?
Okay. Well, then they took it...
War Battle.
This mode before.
It was in Call of Duty World at War, and that was the last game it was in. And that was their last World War II game.
They probably just changed the name.
So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, because it's very much like, okay, you have to capture this house first, and then you have to go build this bridge.
Yeah.
And
That's it, yeah.
Chip didn't like that mode at all. He kept looking at me and then kept, like, putting his controller off to the side and walking.
I'm not good at those modes whatsoever, especially, like, you're playing with a bunch of random people.
Nobody's talking. There's no headset.
I'm just as guilty of it as everybody. We didn't even have... You couldn't even talk to people, like, how they had it set up.
No, there was no mics.
There was no mics.
What?
No mics.
There was no mics. So it was basically just you would run forward and then get shot, and then you'd have to run forward again, get shot, except if you had that guy that had the 50 kills or 37 kills.
Yeah, he had a great time.
Then he had a great time because he was, like, stopping everybody, and then when they were on offense... They just mowed through right to the end again. Yeah. But
it was too much demo, really, for like an event like this.
I mean, it seems very good.
Right. Yep. I'm probably not going to buy it. Right. I'm thinking.
And we played Destiny 2. Played the multiplayer of that. Just team deathmatch. Yeah. Yep. It was team deathmatch. And we played 4-on-3. Because
Somebody left
on our team. And playing 4-on-3 was not ideal.
A PR person couldn't jump in for
they
you?
Didn't, they didn't.
That's kind of odd.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Kind of sucked. I wasn't helping
that's
much.
What happens is like a PR person jumps in.
But yeah. The game itself, it seemed a little bit faster to me than Destiny 2. Or Destiny 1. Yeah, it was cool. I like that more than Call of Duty as far as... It's got the laser weapons.
I would probably not play the multiplayer in that game.
No.
If I played the single player.
When you were there, did you like hint at them like, I really like Overwatch. I would like to go see Overwatch stuff someday.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. that's at BlizzCon. That's not going to be here.
Yeah.
It was very much like a capture, ejected A and B and C type thing with Destiny.
Yeah. It seemed fine.
Yeah, it was fun.
Was that it for Activision?
That was it for Activision.
Thor, what else did you see?
I went to the Bandai Namco booth and had a theater presentation that was an hour.
Whoa.
And they showed Ni No Kuni. The interesting part about Ni No Kuni that I thought was interesting is Studio Ghibli isn't working on it. What they did is they hired people that used to work at... They just, like, hired people from Studio Ghibli, basically.
Freelancers. They got people to...
Yeah, basically. So, like, there's not going to be any 2D animation in this game. And the character designs are from the guy who did the character designs in the first game and stuff. And the composer from Studio Ghibli is working on it. So that's kind of what they did.
All right. It's trying to save some money, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good plan. How's the game?
And it releases globally at the same time, whereas Ni No Kuni 1 was like a year and a half gap in between, which is good. I like that too.
Did you like the game? Ship liked it.
The battle mode, like, I don't know. Like, I think I just need to get used to it. I already have it pre-ordered for $39 because I'm good at getting it for cheap. And so I'm just going to get it anyways. But it was all right. And then I tried Gundam Versus. And Gundam Versus reminded me of Virtuon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to the guy, I was like, yeah, like, I loved Toonami, you know, I loved watching Gundam Wing on Toonami and stuff. He's like, yeah, I wasn't even born then. I was like, how old are you? He's like, I'm 19.
Wow.
And he's like...
He's barely allowed into the trade show. He's almost jailbait.
Yeah, so I asked him, like, oh, how'd you get in? He's like, oh, I'm interning for Bandai Namco. And nice. And it's his baby is the Gundam game. That's his project for his internship.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's cool, and he's doing things with social influencers and digital influencers, and yeah, it was interesting talking to that guy.
Nice. Did you like the game?
Yeah, I liked the game. It was fun. I asked him about how, like, why did it take so long for a Gundam game to come out? And it was basically Bandai Namco America telling Japan, like, hey, people play this stuff. Like, you know, people are fans of Gundam, and they finally caved in. So.
Japan didn't believe them.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. If this doesn't sell very well, it's going to go back to...
But you got one chance, everybody. Yeah. Don't blow it. So go if you like Gundam, don't wait on it.
Yeah.
You'll never see it again. What else did we see?
We saw Ubisoft games. We saw Skull and Bones.
That's right. I was surprised that they had that there. I thought that was just like a very quick trailer teaser. But we didn't watch the Ubisoft.
We played 5-on-5 multiplayer. And it's... People were like comparing it to Sea of Thieves. They're totally different games. They have both pirate themes, and then it pretty much stops there.
Right, and you have boats.
Okay, that part of the
boats that shoot.
Part of the pirate theme, I think. But you're
not have a pirate game without boats.
You're not playing as individual. At least not in the multiplayer. You're not playing as individual pirates. You're a ship.
Did this like evolve from Assassin's Creed?
Yes.
So I had a very thought. Sure. But, yeah.
But it seems like it only evolved to the point where... I mean, is there a single player?
I don't think so, right? I don't know. All they were showing was multiplayer. And it was fine. It was fun. You went around with your ships, and you had three different classes of ships. And the whole mode that we were playing was go shoot down merchant ships.
Yeah, be a pirate. Do the pirate thing.
And then you run your ship over top of where those merchant ships were at, and you pick up the gold. And then
there's another team trying to do the same thing.
Trying to do the same thing, and you fight against each other to get their gold. And then there's at the end the pirate police come, and you have to escape to the extraction point, or else the pirate police blow up your ship.
Do you think pirates use the term extraction point when they're doing their thing?
Yeah, they did.
Get to the extraction point.
Right, get to the extraction.
Blackbeard.
Yes, we must capture Objective A and get to the extraction point. It was fun. It had a learning curve to it, of course, because you had to realize how far your cannons could shoot and like which side of the ship they were going to shoot out of and like what angle and everything. But it looked nice. We'll have to learn more about what that game is.
There were guys in our demo that were very loud in the headsets.
Yeah, they had headsets for that game.
And they were, that one you could communicate in. And they were very loud, and they were just...
I still find that I'm not going to communicate much in that setting.
Especially when they're just trying to make jokes and stuff, and like say like, you know.
Start singing pirate chanties.
Right.
Then we saw Mario and Rabbids. I played that. GP watched me play that.
Mm-hmm.
That's straight up XCOM.
I wasn't expecting that.
That is just Mario XCOM.
Did you know that? Yeah. Rabbids, yeah.
It's yeah, like, everybody has been talking about that for like the past like six, 5 days.
XCOM for kids.
Yeah. You have your exploration aspect of it, which is weird because you're not controlling Mario. You're controlling this little robot rabbit in front of Mario, and all the characters are behind that rabbit. And there's no jumping, which is really odd for a Mario game.
Right.
Like, there was, like, puzzles to solve.
And Mario has a gun.
That too.
Well, sure.
It's more like a hand cannon.
It still looks like a toy. Like, it's not a violent gun.
No.
It's
a friendly gun.
It's a friendly gun, yeah. And you're not killing anything. You're, like, undigitizing them or something. They're, like...
Right. You're helping them.
You're helping them, yes.
You're helping them.
Yeah, you're helping them with the gun.
With your friendly gun.
Right. But, yeah, you were, like, solving puzzles and everything out in the world. Like, easy stuff, like... You had this much time to get this many coins and that type of thing. Going through mazes, it's fun. It's the combat was entertaining. I'm sure it wasn't that interesting to watch if you're not playing it. But it's cute.
It was fine.
Yeah. But and then we didn't have much else to like. As far as time-wise, look at anything at Ubisoft.
I didn't mind watching because they were doing a Just Dance demo right outside, and there was no sound playing in the game because you guys were wearing headsets.
Right.
So I was watching you play the Rabbids with...
While Cisco...
While, like, Nicki Minaj was talking about having sex with her boyfriend over and over again. It was interesting to watch. Okay. Yeah, Luigi moved to that. Spoiler, Luigi's in the demo.
I rescued him.
Yep.
I rescued Luigi in the demo.
So that was Ubisoft, I think. We couldn't get into Far Cry.
The timing just didn't work. It was either we were going to be late for our next appointment or see Far Cry. And I think we know what Far Cry is.
Exactly. And we didn't want to be late for the 4DX movie.
Right.
I was thinking ahead. All right, Thormon, what did you see next?
I went to Exceed, and...
did it exceed your expectations?
Sure. So I saw Zwei, Z-W-E-I, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right.
Yeah, it sounds right.
All
right,
it's German for two.
Okay.
I asked him, it looked like a budget title. I asked him, he's like, I think we're going to shoot it for around 30, but... it's pretty cool. It's kind of a dungeon. You go in, you swap, and it had a nice animation style to it. One guy has a piercing, chain thing, and you shoot things. And there was a level where you had to go around and close every chest to open the door. And it was
it's like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, goofy Japanese dungeon crawler.
And they do goofy pretty well there in Japan.
Yeah, this next game is called Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash.
Oh, you went and saw the bikini water gun game.
Oh, yeah. It was
right in front.
Right.
Yeah. And, boy, is that...
It had a crowd around it, I noticed.
It's very, very...
It's very naughty.
Is there any innuendo?
Oh, tons of it.
Are there panties?
You shoot their bikinis off.
Oops.
What's underneath? More bikinis?
No, they have...
stars?
They have light titties.
There's just light shoots out?
Light shoots out. There. Beams. Just beams of light.
Okay.
So, no nipples.
Isn't that dangerous when you're shooting water at them?
Instead of like a... Instead
no, it's light, not electricity.
Not electricity. No, it's just light.
So light. It's kind of like Adult Splatoon. So what it is the competitions are streamed on NewTube, and you pick your girl.
Wait, NewTube?
N-E-W tube.
Okay.
Yeah, and you go around.
That's an opportunity.
Yeah. So what you do is you have your water gun, and to refill the water gun, you have to press square when you're in water. Okay. Kind of like Splatoon.
Got it.
And you shoot the ladies, and then once you
Are you a lady?
Yeah, everyone's a lady. Everyone's a sexy lady.
That way it's not sexist.
Right, that's why I was... of course, it's not sexist at all. Okay.
And once you defeat them, you go up to them and you press square, and depending on... This has Overwatch, loot crate, packs.
Wait, how do you defeat them? Just by shooting the bikinis?
You shoot them. It's an online multiplayer shooter.
Oh, okay.
So you're playing online.
So you just shoot them, anywhere in the body, or you have to...
Yeah, you shoot them anywhere, and once they're down, you hit square, and then a thing comes out, and then it gets real close and personal screen, and you shoot at the part of the bikini you want gone.
So there's a mini game after you kill the player to get their bikini off. And then you get to see the beams come out of the boobs. The beams
out of their vaginas or boobs.
Vaginas too?
Yeah.
What kind of game is this?
Have you never played a Senran Kagura game?
I've never even heard of them.
They're big, man.
I'm guessing they don't sell them at Walmart.
No, they sell them on Amazon. Actually, they do sell them on Walmart.com. Yeah. There's a 3DS version called the Double D Edition.
Classy.
Yeah, you never heard of these titles. They're pretty popular. The guy when I was there, the main guy was signing stuff, and there was a huge line.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot today. I've learned what the percentage means at Smash Brothers.
And cheap ass gamers love that series.
I noticed you showed me that whenever it's like any kind of anime thing is usually pretty popular, it's right?
Really, really popular, yeah. And then I saw Sakuran of Rice and Rain.
Okay.
And the theme I noticed this year at E3 is everybody's putting an Animal Crossing or Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley type mode in their game. Also, Ni No Kuni 2 is going to have a kingdom mode.
Okay.
Where you build your own kingdom.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Building and crafting,
yeah.
Maybe Minecraft might have a little bit of influence here.
Yeah, probably that too. Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, look at Minecraft's in the top 10 every month.
Yeah, probably. So Sakuran, Rice and Rain, I didn't see that part, but apparently you grow your rice fields or something, but I didn't see that part.
And it rains? Hopefully. It doesn't. Rice isn't going very far.
It's kind of like a 2D beat 'em up brawler like Odin Sphere or any of the Vanillaware games.
And yet, light beam shooting out of
it? No. Nothing naughty about that game.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure out how that's
a game.
How that's what you want is light beam shooting out of. Like, that's the reward.
Yeah.
It's a weird reward.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want light shooting. I don't want anything shooting at me at all.
Maybe just keep the bikinis on if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. I don't want to get shot with light or anything.
Like blinding light.
No. No.
Is it like rainbows or something?
Maybe.
And then you can't even see anything because you're being blinded. Just wear the bikini. Just keep the bikini on and put a spotlight on it.
You know how like in Zelda, like Link opens the chest and like it's shining gold?
Yeah, right. That's because there's gold in there.
Yeah, I know. But that's the effect it's like in that game.
But that's not the treasure. It's not.
It depends on who you
But why do they want gold? Is it supposed to be gold in there?
No.
It's just, I don't know. It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think.
I think they just
take the top off the Ark.
Ark,
it's you can't look at it, can't be seen by humans.
And then I saw Shantae on Switch, and they had the Risky Boots DLC on there. You could try. It's kind of like Shovel Knight, where they just put in Plague Knight, and you played the game all over again as Plague Knight. It's basically that. So I didn't play too much of it because I completely beat that game. I actually gave him $12 on Kickstarter like 3 years ago, and then I got to play it a week early and everything. But I really liked that game, so I was like, I'll check it out. I'm like, okay, that's what it is, and I put it down. So
that was Shantae.
Shantae Half Genie Hero. Have you played that, either of you?
I've played some of them.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did we have? The last one, right?
We had Warner Brothers.
Okay.
We played Shadow of War. That game is so much more involved than the last game.
You knew that you're in for trouble when every hands-on station came with its own PR person. With
a dev, probably. Like
this a dev, yeah.
The lady I was talking to.
Not a PR person, sorry.
Right.
Not like a PR person.
Like, she's like, okay, are you familiar with the controls, or do you want me to like kind of go over them? And I'm like, why don't you just remind me what they are? It was like a 10-minute explanation of like what every button and what every combination and everything was.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot going on. Think of a big room with like 20 stations in it, maybe more, and each one of them had a dev with a headset on, so they could talk to you and tell you.
Because they know it's complicated. Yeah. They know there's a lot.
Because I had that, and I still was not doing well.
That reminds me, like I saw No More Heroes at PAX South, and luckily I had a dev who came over and like talked to me and explained it to me. But I was like, man, and then I didn't completely understand until like 10 minutes after playing. And then I was kind of done playing. And then the game came out and no one knew how to play the game. It was so complicated. But whoever understood the complication really likes it. But that game already dipped down to $10. So
I didn't get my money's worth. I should have waited.
But
yeah, it looks good, though. Mordor.
Yeah, it's not... It's
Mordor?
Not bad.
What's it called?
Shadow of War. It's not a bad complication because they've just like expanded on things that were in the last one. Of course, now you have your army as well that you're putting up against the other army. And like before you go do missions or whatever, you can select like which warlords you want on your team. You can select like a
people are gonna love that shit.
You can like give them different power ups. You don't want to send your whole army because then if you lose them, they're gone. It's intense.
Strategizing.
Can you play as the orcs or no?
No, you're still playing just as
I was thinking like in Metal Gear Solid 5 you can pick one of your troops and just play as one of your troops. I don't think so.
No, at least they didn't show any of that. You're still Johnny Lord of the Ring.
You're still Troy Baker.
Probably.
No, it is Troy Baker.
Yeah. One of the voices is that character. Like it's two characters in one.
Yeah.
But the combat was very good. It's expanded on what they had last time. It's very difficult. Like if you played the first one, you remember you'd be fighting and then like a mini boss or boss character, a named character would pop up and it would say that they were in the battle. Like this was happening.
Three of them
at once, like just constantly getting added to the battle. So there's a lot more of the name characters. It seems like you were doing a lot of the same, at least I did a lot of the same activities that you did in the first game, going up to a fortress and causing havoc in the, within that fortress, blowing up their grog, that type of stuff. But it's going to be really good, I think.
Yeah.
The cool part is, like, Best Buy restocked that $10 gift, like, $10 rewards program pretty heavily. So, like...
That's in there.
Yeah, Shadow War's in there. So, it's Call of Duty World War II and a lot of stuff you guys saw, so...
Yeah, it's good. I'll probably be ordering a bunch of games from there. What else did we see at Warner Brothers?
We saw LEGO Dimensions, the new character packs that they're adding to that. We played in the Teen Titans world. So we played with Teen Titans and Powerpuff Girls and Beetlejuice and some other characters, I'm sure.
No, that's it. That's all the things they announced.
Okay. I think they had some of the older characters in there as well.
It looks it's fun.
Goonies just came out, so maybe they had like Goonies sitting there or something.
They had had everything.
Okay.
It looked cool. They didn't show us the Powerpuff Girls level, but the Powerpuff Girls like announcer was in there, so that was
Tom
fun.
Kenny?
The real guy. They said they got the real guy.
It looks pretty solid.
Yep.
Do you think they're going to continue with LEGO Dimensions or come out with two, or you think they're just kind of?
They're smart. They don't even bother. They don't come out with two really, and just keep pumping out the figures. I mean.
I think that's the way to go for them. I mean, they have two other LEGO games also. I mean, they had
LEGO Worlds,
and now they have LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2,
right,
which we played some of that as well. They just keep on making the graphics better in those.
Yeah, they look more sort of, more effects.
There was so much going on the screen. Like,
yeah.
Effects everywhere, LEGO nubs everywhere. We're playing Guardians of the Galaxy characters was what was in the demo. Yeah, it'll be good.
Yep. See anything else, Thorbon?
I saw 4DX on the showroom floor. Apparently, that's where I got your Soylent Green.
But that wasn't the real 4DX that you experienced later, which you loved, is your favorite experience. They're going to start calling that the Thorbon experience.
Oh, great. it was interesting because they had so many like brands sponsoring it. Like, DX Racer commercial would be shown. And then it was 4DX.
This is the Overwatch thing.
Yeah. So like they had a MOBA iPad game in the morning, and then they had Overwatch in the afternoon, and then they gave out free Soylent Green, or Soylent, and then it was interesting sitting there, and then the game broke, so I had an appointment, so I left.
And then you got more 4DX. That wasn't enough 4DX. You needed to see the real 40X with a really shitty movie attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
With a lot of action, but also shitty. So we saw The Mummy. And, I mean, for me, it was just as enjoyable as Jurassic World in 4DX. Because that was also like a silly movie. And every time I started thinking, this is really silly. You would get kicked in the head or air.
We got stabbed a lot.
It was very stabby.
We got stabbed a lot. We
rolled around a lot. Like
we got Tom Cruise's drool sprayed on us. Oh man, there was flowers. There was like a scene with flowers, and they like put perfume out into the theater.
Yeah,
I didn't notice.
You didn't notice that? Maybe if you turn off the water, it turns off the smell. Because that was the first time.
That's the first time we'd had smell-o-vision in there.
Yeah, that was a great. I mean, basically anytime anything happened like that, I just would laugh because it was funny.
It was weird when they shoot mist in the air and it covered the screen.
I know, that's good, right?
Okay,
that's what you need. Realism. I felt like I found the movie more gross, like when the gross things happened, because you're getting constantly kicked and stabbed,
or spiders are crawling all over you.
Right. Like, it felt that part felt more intense somehow to me. No?
I just...
You just kept thinking how stupid it was.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm.
And I don't like getting wet while I'm watching a movie.
You're crazy. I like to say that you're crazy, but it is a weird thing.
Like, I'm just watching this movie and all of a sudden raindrops are...
You're supposed to laugh when that happens.
No, I get annoyed.
See, I laughed a lot every time. Every time it got cold in there because
I liked it when it got cold because I like cold. I was like, oh, this is nice. This is pleasant. I like this.
See, I was cold, actually, and I went, brr. But then, like, spiders would come, and then I would be more afraid because, my body was changing with the movie.
I needed to turn that water shit off because at the E3 booth, water shot me. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
You got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I like the water. I got to say, like, they're, like, drowning at one point, or, you know, they're having a hard time with in water. The mummies are great swimmers. I don't know if you guys know this, but one thing I learned from the movie, spoiler.
You've learned a lot from the movie.
I've learned a lot from this movie, right. But one thing is that, like, the most badass mummy can move as good as, like, a mermaid, basically.
And everybody wants Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is very desirable. He lasts a long time in bed, apparently, but some stories say no. But the mummy wants him. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. They never really said why. The mummy needed Tom Cruise specifically.
I think it's just implied because he's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he is Tom. You know,
like,
he's pretty famous.
You don't really have to, like, build that into Tom Cruise too much.
He is desirable. Right. He's like the biggest box office draw.
Knowing that he's desirable.
Right. The very beginning of the movie, this beautiful, like, 30-ish woman is just like, he slept with me 3 days ago and took my map.
Right, and then said that he only lasted 15 seconds. It was 15 seconds of enjoyment or something like that. And then Tom Cruise didn't like that. And then, you know, said, hey, it was actually much longer than that.
He didn't act at all like a thief.
Well, he was supposed to be the thief with a heart of gold, but not even really. They didn't want to spend a lot of time.
He was supposed to be Aladdin or Robin Hood.
You know, they didn't really have that much time to spend on, like, trying to tell you what kind of character he is. It's more important that when he gets stabbed, that you get stabbed.
Great.
While watching it.
Right.
Because then you don't need to even think about his personality or what kind of character.
Think about personalities or motivations at all.
Yeah, that wasn't part of this movie.
That's not what they were going for. They were going for,
stabbings.
Stabbing, cars flipping.
Yes, a lot of, like, flipping, getting banged against things.
Yeah, there was a lot of banging against things.
Getting thrown against things.
Yeah, there was aircraft crashing.
Screaming.
There was some good screaming.
Good screaming. Good jump scares. A jump scare is much better when the seat kicks you or something shoots in your ear.
And they did an excellent job of really making this huge universe that they plan to fill in with all these other movies.
God. Tom Cruise is now the evil, good.
No
spoilers. Oh my God. No one's. You think anybody is like.
Is Nadia Boone would be upset that we spoiled
it? Right. I'm sorry. I can't. I don't feel sympathy for you. If you haven't seen Mummy yet, you don't want to see Mummy.
I think. Well, they were going to. This was like the Universal Monsters universe that they were.
The weird part is they should have focused on horror instead of making it action adventure if they wanted to do a.
Well, they want to make money off of this stuff.
Horror movies make a lot of money, though.
You got to get lucky, though.
Not the Mummy. Oh,
okay.
Like, I think horror movies do make a lot of money, but I don't think you can. It'd be very difficult for them to be like, here's a really hardcore horror mummy movie. All
right.
I think it on paper it made more sense. At least on paper it made more sense of them to like tie Tom Cruise, and
Russell Crowe
to it.
Oh, boy.
Russell Crowe's character wasn't very engaging. It was just so silly. I mean, is it a spoiler to say who he is in the movie?
No, I already knew who he was.
You knew, right?
Yeah, they do it in trailers.
I didn't know either. It took me by shock.
Right, and then something kicked your chair, and you were like, oh, yeah, this is good.
Like,
it's good that he's...
Do you get... Like, just to make sure, did you get who he was? Just
like, oh, yeah. So, spoiler, in case you don't know who Russell Crowe's character that he's playing is, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And, you know, he gives his name. And then, like, 3 minutes later, just in case you didn't catch who he was, it flashes up on a screen when he's opening a door with his handprint.
No, the Mega 64 guys made fun of it a lot on their podcast. And they watch the video, but they're like, oh, I wonder who Dr. Jekyll's going to be. You know, I don't know what will happen with Dr. Jekyll. And I told Rocco we were
going to... I don't know what happened with him, really. Yeah, I watched the movie, you know.
I told Rocco we were going to go see the Mummy. He's like, oh, I feel bad for him. I'm like, yeah, I know. But
You're all wrong.
Great.
I hurt myself laughing, pretty much. There were some good My stomach hurt. I'm not even joking. My stomach hurts right now. It could be the turkey after, but...
Yeah, talk about that place. Was it called Clifton's?
We went to Clifton's Cafeteria. No, Clifton's Cafe, it's called. And it's basically cafeteria style, but very fancy, L.A. style. And I guess the place has been there since the 30s, but now it's fancy. It was good. Not as good as the Mummy 40X.
No, Mummy, that place was...
Thorbjorn loved it. Thorbjorn was very happy that we were there, and I was happy that Thorbjorn was happy, especially since I made him go see the Mummy in 40X, and that didn't make him happy. But it made me happy. I'm not going to lie. I have no apologies. I can't
apologize. It made me really happy, too.
Yeah.
I cannot get enough of bad action movies in 40X.
Great. It's just so great. And people, I saw people were enjoying it. I heard people laughing at, like,
you get to ride a horse at some point.
You get to ride a horse. The guy downstairs was like, in the row in front of us, he was into it, right?
Yeah,
he was into it. He was like, oh, yeah.
He was laughing.
He was laughing too, right? It's funny. It's just, I guess you have to be in the right frame of mind for it and be expecting a horrible action movie.
I don't know. I have high standards for movies.
I do too, but in this case, I don't.
I'll watch a Netflix movie for like 5 minutes. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. It's not a good movie. I get it. But as a roller coaster ride, it's good.
I'd rather just go on a roller coaster.
They didn't have that. If they open one here,
that wasn't one of the options.
That wasn't one of the options. It wasn't across the street from the hotel. If it was, that would be good. Well, there is one. It's just farther away. But I don't know. I'm tired. I sat in a lot of rooms, dark rooms today. So I think that's it for E3. Any, like, closing thoughts? Thorbjorn, how was your E3? How did it compare to last year?
Last year was a lot easier to network. Today was a lot easier to network. Like, I got some shit done.
Because you could see people, actually see people, because there wasn't just a wall of people at all times.
I talked to people in emails and stuff and Twitter and certain people with Twitter accounts at our companies and things, and I could go up to the... You know, like, I went to the NIS America booth and I was like, is the person who runs the Twitter here? And she goes, yeah, it's that lady. And I talked to her and she loves Cheap Ass Gamer. And, you know, she likes and retweets Cheap Ass Gamer.
Of course.
I was like, all right, here's my business card. And she gave me my, you know, then we can do stuff with NIS America.
Just like a real trade show.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's good. That's good stuff. And the, you know, I guess the yellow badges had enough. They saw enough after 2 days that they didn't really come back, or they left early, maybe.
I hope they make, like, a fourth day that's just Yellow Badge Day, you know, like on a Friday or something.
They're more likely to make, like, a day or two that's just industry, like no Yellow Badge Day.
Yeah.
That's, I'm guessing, is what's more. But, yeah, I mean, they'd make a lot more money if they had a day that's, well, no, they wouldn't do just yellow badges, probably, I'm thinking.
No, I mean, you could brave it still if you were press.
Yeah.
Like, the thing I like about PAX is they do media hours on Friday.
Yeah, I know. It makes a lot of TGS, too.
Yeah, so then I can go in and talk to these people before the onslaught shows up, you know?
Before their souls are crushed.
Yeah.
Now, people seem to be in pretty good spirits, I thought, today. Like, they didn't seem to be a disaster. You know, it just seemed like, you know, some things were a little fucked up in the beginning, and people, not as many people came back. I think sort of worked itself out, maybe. I don't think they changed anything over the course of the show.
I mean, it's still, they need to make some adjustments because everything is just a huge line, and there's no chance for you to, like, discover something while you're here.
Right, right. You came to play Mario, probably.
Committed, yeah, to, like, okay, this is the day that I'm going to wait in this Mario line.
Yeah. I discovered why Natsumi was so busy. It's because in order to get that figure, you have to play 4 other games.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh. And people were playing Wild Guns Reloaded, even though that game's been out for like 6 months.
Oh, it's coming out for PC, I think, now.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Okay.
All right. I mean, I had a good show. Thought it was fun.
I did too.
Saw a lot of good games.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. Saw good people.
Good people, good 4DX movie.
How many years have you gone now?
This is my 13th year, I believe.
Jesus.
This is my 9th.
A lot of those years was just me by myself.
4 of them.
Yeah, and just like really, like staring at the wall, basically, after the show. It was good times.
That's all you did? You didn't?
I mean, I didn't know. I mean, eventually, every year I would get to know more people, but like the first year, I didn't know anybody.
Yeah, that's all I am now. Like, I go hang out with Mega 64, and I made a friend at Pac South, and I hung out with her.
That's
and,
what happens.
Yeah.
Now I'm not alone anymore. I'm not staring at the wall anymore at the Vagabond Inn while prostitutes are servicing their clients next door. And it all worked out.
Yeah, you got a lot bigger. Hopefully more bigger.
More bigger.
Especially, you announced the website, the new website. And
yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Hope it comes out soon. All right. Well, you'll hear more E3 talk next week on the CADcast. Yes?
July 30th and 31st, I will be in Austin at Classic Game Fest.
Wait, who will be? What?
I will be.
You will be there.
Yes, okay. I will be there.
That's soon. It's approaching.
Yeah, it's a month and a half away, so I figured I'd tell people.
Yes.
I'll have lots of prizes. One is a NES Classic, so show up and you could win that.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you next week.